See me with a messenger bag coming to deliver a message, and that's what I'm doing today. So let's just pray over this word. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us today. We thank you for your kindness, your mercy, your grace. God, we love you so much. And we're here to hear from you, Lord, today. We're here to obey. We're here to learn. We're here to yield. Here we are, Lord, help. Help me with the word, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we're just going to dig right in. Yes, children? Are there children in the house? Yes, kiddos. Super kids? Going to Super Kid Academy? All right. Up you go and out you go and bye-bye and have fun. We have a new kid in the house. Not quite ready for children's church yet. So we're everybody be sure and greet Faya, Chris, and new baby Zachariah. Zachariah, I'm sorry, Zachariah. Beautiful little one. Precious. Precious in the sight of the Lord and to us too. So welcome, Zachariah. Okay, so here we go. All right, so the purity test is what we're going to talk about today. And in one thing I want to talk about is that, first of all, this country has really been desensitized. And I think we as Christians have to be aware that we are living in a time, a post-Christian era. So we have to understand that things change. It's the proverbial frog in the pot. You know, things get watered down and, you know, the water gets hotter. And before you know it, people don't even notice things. Okay, but the standard of the Word of God is not changeable. It's settled. And so as believers, we have to stay firm on the Word. And we have to understand that that is our standard. The standard isn't the news. The standard isn't our politicians. The standard isn't the current trends. The standard is the Word of God. So we have to have that in our hearts. And, you know, we're becoming comfortable. Unfortunately, we're becoming comfortable with immorality. We're becoming comfortable with these things. And, you know, it wasn't long ago that we had a president that didn't help this matter at all. You know, in the highest office in the United States government, our president's behavior was out of control and immoral. But the saddest part of it was that many people thought the personal behavior of the president was not a reflection on his leadership. And there's nothing further from the truth. It is a lie, and we have to understand that as believers. We have to understand we are salt and light, and we have to embrace that. And we can't, you know, I don't care if it's the President of the United States, we have to know what the Word says, and we have to be strong in character. So today, the purity test is what we're talking about. The Bible truths don't change. I didn't make the rules. He did. Okay? But those, you know, even though our culture's declined with leadership and morality in general, everywhere you turn, the television, you know, I don't know how you can watch TV these days without, you know, your conscience being, you know, hurt. And, you know, if you can watch any show on TV, you got a problem. You know, I'm not saying you shouldn't watch TV, but you got to be extremely careful and you've got to pick and choose. And you've got to guard your heart because there's so much garbage out there. And if you could just turn on the TV and just go, and watch anything without being discerning and selective, then, you know, you got to something you need to deal with. Okay. So our country's desperately in need for repentance, revival, and, you know, starts with the church. We have to do it. You know, I was thinking about this. We don't have time to care about what the world thinks more than what God thinks. We don't have that kind of time. We have to face, you know, our Maker. And you're going to face him someday, so you might as well face the music today, okay? You might as well face the truth today. Because someday you're going to have to answer to God face to face. All right? So we might as well do it now. Okay, so now we're going to get into the message. I'm tired. I'm just kidding. Here we go. We're going to talk about sexual stewardship and how this relates to character. Morality has everything to do with character. Okay, now we've talked a lot in the last year about our destiny. We've talked about our dream boards, our vision boards. We've talked about, you know, fulfilling the thing that God's put in our heart, you know, our DNA. And those are all true things, and they're all good things to talk about. But if we don't have character, moral character, God is not going to allow us to fulfill our God-given destiny for our lives, because we have to pass a purity test like Joseph did. Okay, so, you know, it's good to talk about your dreams. It's good to talk about your goals. But without a passing, there's a passage of the purity test, then you cannot expect God to fulfill your dreams. You may experience a little bit of worldly success, you know, in your job or whatever, but you're not going to have the true success and the true fulfillment of your destiny, your God-given destiny, okay? So, now it's all about pleasing God. Now, if you don't care what God thinks, or if you don't have a heart to please him, then just go ahead and do whatever you want, okay? if you don't care, if God isn't important to you, and it doesn't matter, just do whatever you want to do, okay? That's a hard word, I know. This whole message is a hard word, guys, so just fasten your seatbelts. I was assigned it. Praise the Lord, but I'm the messenger girl today, so I just delivered the message. Praise God, and I'm happy to do so, happy to do so. Praise the Lord. So, but you know what? As for me, I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. You know, I live for the day that I will get to see the Lord and hear that, well done. Okay, so let's ask the Lord. Just take a second. Father, we ask right now that you help us to live for you. Father, that we don't want to do whatever we want to do, Lord. We don't want to just live for ourselves. We want to live for you and your purposes, God. So, God, right now, we ask that you help us to do so, Lord. Refine our character, Lord. We yield to you in Jesus' name. Okay, so it's all about pleasing the Lord. And the Lord has given safeguards. See, he knows what works. That's why he has these safeguards, because he knows what you're going to be facing in your life. He knows how the choices you make now will affect your future. So he's trying to put some safeguards there for you. He loves you. He doesn't want you to have to go through the stuff that is going to be heartache and difficult for you. Okay? So that's why the safeguards. Now we're going to talk about stewardship. Your sexual conduct will affect every area of your life. So it's a matter of stewardship. Okay? You may be good steward of your money, but are you a good steward of your body? Okay, that's very important. And character is all tied into that. Now, if you are immoral in one area of your life, you will be immoral or deceptive in other areas of your life. Okay, so if you're immoral in one area, you start to get practice in deception. And so then you will become deceptive on the job or other areas, with their taxes, with the government, with, you know, your parents, whatever. You could become very deceptive, and you probably will, because the character is foundational. You know, if you're moral, if you cheat on your spouse, you will cheat on your employer. God says, if you will be unfaithful in a small thing, you will also be unfaithful in a large thing. If you're taking notes today, it's Luke 16:10. So, character is a foundational issue. If your foundation is bad, everything else will be bad. It leads to lying and deception because you have to cover up your sin. King David was a man after God's own heart. Yet, sexual sin drove him to lie. It even drove him to murder in an attempt to cover up his sin. So there's a cover-up that occurs. Okay, now promotion. You know, God wants to promote you, and he wants you to fulfill your destiny, but you have to bring this area of control into bear. You have to bring it under control. Joseph is our example. He had to fulfill his dream, he had to pass the purity test. So I want to ask the question today, are you passing the purity test? Only you can answer that question before the Lord. It's something we all have to pass, every one of us, okay? Joseph is God's example, like I mentioned before. In Genesis 39, 7 through 12, we read that Potiphar's wife, day by day, tried to seduce Joseph to lie with her. You know, you think about it, this could have been a very heady thing for Joseph. You know, the wife of this someone in the highest position in the land, he could have, you know, scored or whatever the term is, with her. But he knew, you see, he knew that it would be wicked and a sin against God. All right, so he knew that. He was also loyal to his master. So it would be wrong done to God and to the master both. Both masters. Okay, excuse me while I get a drink of water. You know, you guys, I'm not delivering this message lightly, okay? I know it's cutting some of you, you know. But when God does surgery, it's for your good. It's for your health, and it's for your life. So just take it, okay? Take it like a man, all right? Okay. Sorry. So back to Joseph. Joseph had to be a good steward of his own body, but he had to be a good steward of another man's wife. And that comes into the Ten Commandments, where you shall not covet anything that belongs to your neighbor, including his wife. Exodus 20:17. Okay, now Potiphar's wife, you know, this gal was one desperate housewife. She grabbed his clothes and ripped them right off. You know, but the thing was, this was a day-to-day test. You know, I think, you know, in past times when I've read it, I thought, okay, one time, you know, or a couple times. No, day by day by day by day. So we have to pass these tests on a daily basis. Okay, that's what that example says to us. Okay, now fleeing from, okay, the 1 Corinthians 6:18 says to flee sexual immorality. So, you need to flee or run. That's one of the most important things to do. You need to run. That's what Joseph did. He ran. He ran. So, you need to run from compromising situations. All right? And when there's a situation, when you're with somebody of the opposite sex and it's not comfortable, it could be even comfortable because, you know, the temptation. But when you know it's not right, you have one word you need to know. A three-letter word, and it is run. Run. Okay? Just see it in big, huge, bold letters. Run. All right? Okay, so, and that's what 1 Corinthians 6:18 does say. Flee. Flee. You have to run. All right? So that's what God says to do. He gave us the word. He gave us the example. That's what Joseph did. He ran. Joseph had to prove that he could serve God in this area. He had to prove it. If he hadn't passed this test, he would never have been, you know, ruler of the entire nation under Potiphar. He had to prove that he had control of his own appetites and desires. And so with that, I say, are you serving God in this way? Are you being a good steward of your own body? Okay, if we can't bring our bodies under control, how can we be faithful in any other area? It's all about faithfulness. It's all about character. 1 Corinthians 9:27 says, Paul says, I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Do you want to be disqualified from your God-given destiny? I don't. I hope you don't, you know. But if it doesn't matter to you, then just do whatever you want. But I don't want to be disqualified from my God-given destiny. And I know that, I believe, most of you here are with me on that. If you're not, ask God to help you, okay? So we need to keep our sexual appetite under control. You know, there's other things to keep under control, too, of the flesh, eating, etc. But with our purposes today, we're talking about sexual temptations and immorality. Now, God has made us sexual people. There's no way of getting around it. He created us to be sexual beings. But the challenge is we have to follow his plan for this. And we have to obey his plan. And see, like I said before, that's where the safeguard is. That's where the safety is. All right? And you think, oh, I don't believe that's safe. It is. Trust me. It's safe. You know, you may not, you got to look ahead. You know, many times in our lives, we have to, it is hard sometimes to look ahead. But sometimes we have to look ahead with God's help and work our way backwards. What do you want to face 30 years from now? What do you want to have to be facing? So let's look ahead a little bit. Let's not just live in the second. All right? So the self-control of control over sexual appetites is where the blessing. God's going to give you blessing there. And promotion. Like Joseph, had he not passed the purity test, what might have happened? You know, he would not have been, God wouldn't be able to trust him. Potiphar wouldn't have been able to trust him. And he would not have been Pharaoh. And then he would not have been head of the country. And what about all the people that were saved? Because God showed him how to preserve the people. You know, God's got a plan for you too. On certain levels, certain kinds of things that he has for you to accomplish too. You know, we're all here for a reason. And somebody told me right here at church not long ago, I don't know what I'm here for. I don't know why God put me here in life. Well, you know, one of the things is you got to pass some tests. Then you're going to find out. You know, you clear the pipeline between you and God. You know, if it's all clogged up with sin, you can't hear from him. You won't know what you're supposed to do. So you got to clear the pipeline. All right? Okay, so here's some keys that will help you pass the purity test. All right, this is a big one. It's not hard, it's not profound, but it's hard, but it's not complicated. Okay, does that make sense? Don't look. Okay, surprisingly enough, now this is an important concept. Surprisingly enough, impurity doesn't begin in the heart. It begins in the eye. And I think that's something we're not used to hearing. Impurity begins in the eye, not in the heart. Okay, so looking leads to lust. Looking. Potiphar's wife, it says, cast longing eyes on Joseph. It's found in Genesis 39:7. Joseph was handsome, verse 6. She didn't just notice, but she began to look. When noticing turns to looking, that's when lust is stirred up. Okay, so impurity began in her eyes, and she started to look at Joseph longingly. So, let's catch this. It begins in the eyes. It begins with looking. Don't look at handsome or beautiful people. Don't allow yourself to look or to continue looking, because that will invite lust. Now, obviously, God made handsome and beautiful people for a reason, you know, so we don't just like, ah, you know, you're handsome, ah! Okay, I'm trying to be real. But the point is, don't just keep looking and looking and looking. Because when you keep looking, that's when the lust comes in, okay? It's the second look. You know, he talks in the book about his youth pastor had said, it's the first look is a look. The second look is lust. David's sin of adultery, King David's sin of adultery began by looking. He saw Bathsheba bathing, 2 Samuel 11:2. He could have noticed and then walked back into his house. And if he was struggling, he could have just spent some time crying out to God for help. But the mistake was that he kept looking. Joseph could have looked more at Potiphar's wife. He was steward of the house. He was charge of everything. Maybe he even knew when her bathing time was or when she dressed. Chances are probably she was very beautiful. It would have been easy for him to look. But had he done this, it would have led to lust and then lust to sin. But lust wasn't in his heart. Why? Because he had not allowed it into his eyes. Okay, now there's a motto for us. Make don't look your motto. So there's things you shouldn't be looking at. I mean, this is obvious, but you shouldn't be looking at pornography. You shouldn't be looking at inappropriate sites on the internet. You know, I know sometimes you can be just doing something completely innocent and wham. So just get away from it fast, you know. Just don't go back to it. And, you know, you should know, try to not even go there. You know, don't go there if at all, you know, possible. Don't look. Don't look, don't look, don't look. That's your motto. Movies that are explicit, don't go to them. Don't watch them. TV that is seductive. It's so hard. So much is so crummy. I mean, it's just getting really bad out there. But we are living in a challenging time. No doubt. I'm not saying this isn't hard and not challenging. This is a very challenging time to live in. But, you know, God knew that we would be living in this time. And so he didn't leave us unequipped. Okay. Another don't look. Don't look at the women who are dressed inappropriately. Now, this wasn't in the book, but I'm going to just talk to the ladies and the girls for a second. All right, guys, you can just kind of sit there. But ladies, please watch what you're wearing. I mean, I know it's hard because so much of the clothing out there is just that's the way it is. But please be careful because what you're doing is you are seducing the men by the way you dress. All right, you may think you're just being fashionable like all the other girls, but you could very well be causing the men to stumble by the way you're dressing. Okay, so how much skin are you showing? Please be careful. You know, what are you trying to prove, really? And unfortunately, progressively the look is becoming, and it just grieves my heart, the look is becoming the street girl look. I mean, it used to be, things are changing so fast. It used to be you saw somebody dressed like a hooker, you would just be like, oh my goodness. Now, that's the fashion, you know, so it's not good. And that's not who you ladies are or you girls are, so don't dress like that. You belong to the King of Kings. Don't dress like a hooker, okay? Okay, so why should you look like that when you're a king's daughter? Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't be stylish. I'm not saying you shouldn't be attractive and wear nice styles, but you need to be modest, okay? Modesty. There's a lot of great styles and things you can do. Look, and okay. So, all right. So, is everybody on board listening? Okay. Listen up. All right. Psalm 101:3. Says, I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. TV, internet, movies. I know it's hard today. Proverbs 27:20 says, hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. The eyes have a lust of their own. 1 John 2:16. The lust of the flesh, it talks about, 1 John 2:16 talks about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So there is an actual lust of looking. One of the lusts is the lust of the eyes. Okay. Matthew 5:28 says, "But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And if your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you." So Jesus is saying there that he's showing us that the eye can cause us to sin. That it's just to point, make a very strong point that it's the eye that can cause us to sin. Okay, so he's showing us a progression of the looking first, then the lusting, and finally the immorality. Okay, now this stuff is to help us understand. I mean, it's not to make anybody feel condemned, but it's to help you understand the progression so you will know what to do, okay, in your life. That's all the scripture is inspired of God. 2 Timothy says for reproof and training and correction in righteousness. So it's there for to help you. All right. So it's the wisdom that Jesus has set out for us. Matthew 6:22 through 23 says, "The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness." Jesus is saying that what we set before our eyes is what we will eventually end up, what will end up in our hearts, all right, and will affect our entire body. Set before your eyes what is good and wholesome, and there'll be light. But you set darkness before your eyes, and your body will end up full of darkness and full of lust. Now, this principle, it works with other things, too. Like, let's say there's something you've been wanting to buy, you know, and you just keep looking at it. And you keep, oh, I really want that, you know, I don't know, a basket or a beautiful thing. I don't know, jewelry or I don't know. But you just keep looking at it, looking. The more you look at it, the chances are you're going to actually buy it. Yep. You know, the more you look, the more you're going to buy into it. It's the same thing with lust. The more you look, the more you're going to buy into it. Job 31:1, Job said, "I have made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I look upon a young woman?" Job 31:1, this is a good one for all guys to memorize. Job 31:1, he said, "I have made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I look upon a young woman?" Okay, so now, we're not done yet. Is your seatbelt still fastened?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Let's talk about honesty. All right. God works in the light, but Satan works in darkness. So if you're having any struggles in these areas, you need to expose it. And I'm not saying you need to tell the whole church, please. But you need to expose it somehow, you know, to a brother you can trust, guys, or, you know, if you're married and you're struggling with something, pornography, you should talk to your wife about it. She's going to help you stay accountable. Yeah, you might get smacked. But she's going to help you. In the book, he talks about his wife. I guess this guy had a bit of a struggle, and he told his wife, and she was going to help. And she said, apparently she pinched him every time that he said that she noticed that he was looking or something. She really pinched him hard. It worked. No, I'm not saying you should hurt your husband. Okay. Well, hey. But I'm just saying, you know, I'm not saying that, but, you know, it's to be accountable, guys, yes. Or ladies. You know, maybe you've got a struggle too. Go to your husband and tell him, come clean. Come clean. And then that means that there has to be no fear of rejection by your spouse. You've got to be able to love them, support them, pray for them, and help them with the problem. Okay, but hiding in deception is not what you want to do, okay, because that creates loss of trust. Okay, so now you say, my impurity is not going to affect anybody. It may affect me a little bit or whatever, but it's not going to affect anybody. But I'm here to tell you today, it will affect a lot of people. It'll affect your family. It will affect your future children. King David, his immorality was passed on to his children. because you'll read in 2 Samuel, by chapter 13, those children were grossly immoral. So it does affect your family. The spirit, the curse that go passed down from one generation to the next. So don't think it doesn't affect anybody. Your gift in the church is needed. What if we can't trust you? And then now we have a whole areas that you can't do anything because we can't trust you. So it does affect people. It really does. All right, moving on. The iniquities of the fathers is passed down to the children. Exodus 34 says that in verse 6 through 7. The iniquity of the fathers is passed down from the children. Now we're just going to take a second and just define the difference between iniquity and sin. Because if you will notice, it doesn't say the sins of the fathers. And I think that's misunderstood sometimes. It says the iniquity. So sin is an outward movement. It's the action. It's in the hand, something that is done. Iniquity is the inward motivation. It's the attitude of the heart. So you've got heart and hand. Okay, iniquity is the heart, the inward motivation. Sin is the outward action or the hand or the thing you do. If the attitude or iniquity is there in the heart, then the hand will follow suit. Okay, so if it's in your heart, the iniquity, the sin is going to come out. So it's important that we deal with the inward motivation in order to be sexually pure. Okay, now there's a word that, you know, we say, the Lord's Prayer says, a certain translation says, forgive us our trespasses. So a trespass, I like the word right in this application because a trespass is stepping, if you trespass, you're stepping onto somebody's private property. You know, if you see no trespassing signs. You know, we have some new neighbors that bought some land next to us, which formerly was just open, and now we have electric fences back there and tags and no trespassing sign on one side, right? And yeah, he's kind of overdoing it a little bit because... But anyway, so trespassing. We won't go there, but you know what I'm talking about. So even the word sin means to trespass. So trespassing is to step over a line that you shouldn't step over. Sin is stepping over the line that you're not supposed to cross. It's stepping over the line. God says, don't step over this line. When you do, it is sin. Okay? Adultery is sin. Lust is iniquity. So it starts with lust. It starts with iniquity. It develops into sin. Lust is iniquity. Fornication is sin. It is the iniquity that we will see passed down to the children, not the sins. Exodus 25, he will visit the iniquities of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation. Okay, heavy duty. But you know what? I think, you know, sometimes we assume that everybody knows these things. And, I would guess that probably most of you already knew this and have known it for years, but we can't just assume, especially as we're raising up new generations of people, new generations of believers, young people are coming up. We can't assume that everybody just knows this. So that's one of the reasons why we are talking about that today. Good news is Isaiah 53:5 says, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Our iniquities. Jesus was outwardly wounded for our outward sins, and this is really good, but he was inwardly bruised for our inward iniquities. So he took the punishment for the outward things that you've done, but he also was bruised for the inward motivations and attitudes of the heart. His work on the cross was done for us to set us free from both the sin and the iniquity. Complete work. So we need to receive that work that he did to set us free. And as we said before, you know, you think it's not going to hurt anybody, but we don't want to give, you don't want to give your children the wrong inheritance.
That's right.
Because that's what's going to go down. And that's why I say you've got to look ahead a little bit, you know. Young people, I'm sure you want children. You look ahead a little bit. You don't want to give them the wrong inheritance. Everybody in the room, don't give your kids the wrong inheritance or your grandchildren. Okay, now impurity, I'm going to go on to impurity, it is lust. It is not love. Now, this is a hard one, but it's not love. You know, if you say, you love me, you'll sleep with me. No. You might as well say, if you lust me, you'll sleep with me. Or I lust you, let's sleep together. Don't say, I love you. Don't say that, because if you love that person, you wouldn't be doing that. Because love holds them in the highest regard. That's what love does. You know, Potiphar's wife did not love Joseph. She lusted after him. She had no concern about his welfare. She didn't care. If she cared about Joseph, she would never have seduced him. If she loved him, she wouldn't have done that, because lust is not love. Don't get the two confused. Okay, so it's selfish. Lust is selfish. It only wants to gratify itself. It doesn't care whether the spouse gets hurt, the girlfriend gets hurt, any kids get hurt, and it will affect your family. So, you know, if you're not loving somebody by just sleeping with them. You are not loving them. As a matter of fact, you're doing just the opposite. There are consequences to immorality. It brings great pain and heartache. God isn't just trying to be a prude. He's trying to make your life safe. He just knows that stepping over the line hurts people. He loves you, and he doesn't want you on a road to destruction. God wants you to have someday a good sexual, or if you're already married, a good sexual relationship with your spouse. That's his plan. So it's disobedience to God to do anything other than that. What's the boundaries are marriage. The boundaries are marriage. That's what God has set in motion. Okay? So if you've had some problems with this, you need to shut the door. Premarital sex opens the door to dissatisfaction after marriage. Dissatisfaction with sex later in marriage. So I want to show you how this works, because premarital sex causes you to sneak around. It causes impurity, which leads to deception. Okay, so you're developing an attitude of sneaking around, which God never intended for you to have. So what is forbidden, you have to sneak around. It gives an adrenaline rush. So now here's the connection. So after you get married, you don't have to sneak around anymore because you're married. And God wants to just bless your sexual relationship. But now there's no more adrenaline rush. So you start looking for other things. Pornography. Extramarital affairs. Okay, so the love in your heart, you've developed a pattern that love equals an adrenaline rush. That lust equals love, and they're not the same thing. So love equals adrenaline rush now is in his mind or in your mind. So now you think that you don't love this lady anymore. But it's not. The truth is that you're just not getting that adrenaline rush. You don't have to sneak around. So that's where a lot of divorces happen, because he married her, but now there's no more adrenaline rush. And so a cycle of a divorce begins to occur. Whew. Okay. All right. So this is really in your face. But you know what? It's in your face because God loves you. It's not in your face because he's trying to hurt you, make you mad. It's not in your face because he's trying to, you know, punish you. It's in your face because he wants to get you on track. You know, but if you don't care what God thinks, just do whatever you want. Okay, so now the door needs to be closed through repentance. That's how the door is closed. You cannot gloss over this. You must repent. There is no other step. There is no other way. You have to repent. All right, so you must ask forgiveness of the people you've hurt. your spouse, if you're married, whoever might be involved, you need to ask for forgiveness or have somebody pray for you. You must deal with it for what it is. It is sin. Okay, you must deal with premarital sex as sin, or adultery as sin, or looking at pornography as sin. Those things are sin. And we can't call it something else. We have to call it what it is. And the thing that's going to occur is you're going to close the door to the devil. When you close the door through repentance, you close the door to the devil and his, you know, destruction in your life. Impurity will affect your relationship with God. Anyone involved in morality is a deceptive liar. That's a strong word, but that's what they are. They're deceptive liars. They're sneaking around. They're covering up. They're learning to be deceptive to their parents, perhaps their spouse, their friends, and to God. He knows. He can't hide from God. You know, you can't hide. When you open the door to great deception, you are opening the door to demonic spirits. They masquerade as angels of light, and they will tell you that no one is seeing what you're doing, not even God. They will trick you. They will deceive you. You cannot have a good relationship with God. You learn to pray. You may even raise your hands in praise and worship, but your heart is covered. You've learned to cover your sin. You've learned to put on a face. Psalm 66:18 says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." Proverbs 28:9 says, "One who turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer, is an abomination." If you're involved in an immoral relationship, it will stand between you and real fellowship with God. You may think that you're hearing from God, but you're probably only hearing a demon. You're blinded. You stop seeing your sin. As I said before, you learn to put on a face. You stop hearing the Holy Spirit telling you to turn away from the sin. He's trying to get you to turn to him so you won't go on a path of destruction. Okay. So, you know, you start getting less and less sensitive to the Holy Spirit. You break fellowship. Okay. And, you know, God's not, as I said before, God's not just, he's not in heaven just going, he loves you. And he wants you to come to him and bow your heart before him and repent. Because he loves you. He really cares. He knows your future. There's nobody who knows your future. Only God. Why not yield to the one who knows the beginning from the end? And don't develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit that's rebellious. Don't tune out his voice. James 1:14 through 16. "But each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren." James says, don't be deceived. The only way you can have a good relationship with God is to renounce sin and repent. Tell him you want to come back to him. All right. Impurity will affect your future. It will affect your future. Don't believe a lie. Satan will try to convince you that there will be no real consequences to immorality. That is a lie, and it's not true. There will be consequences that you will have to live with. It will cost you. Number one, it's going to cost you the presence of God. And if that doesn't matter to you, then just do whatever you want. I don't believe that of you all. I believe you want to please the Lord. You want his presence in your life. I believe that. Even if it's been kind of cloudy, and maybe you've sinned and you've allowed some things, but I believe, you know, your heart, deep down inside, wants to please the Lord. Joseph would have lost everything. Joseph would have lost his fellowship with God. He would have lost the keys to his destiny. He wouldn't have, if he had not passed the test, there would have been no promotion. And who knows how it might have affected the entire world. I believe he knew that inherently. He knew he needed to obey the Lord. Immorality is disobedience to God. He can't pour his blessing out on you or his favor. We say these confessions every Sunday, but they're there, but they're restricted. They're restricted. If you don't confess and repent, he can't deliver them to you. He can't deliver them to you. Okay, so how do we pass the purity test? Number one, you have to run to God. You can't not pretend there's nothing wrong. You have to pass the test by running to God. Okay, you know, we talk about running. The first place to run is run away from the situation. Remember, then go run to God. Run to him. Allow God a place in your heart day by day. Now, just remember, Potiphar's wife was tempting and seducing Joseph day by day. So we need to come to God on a daily basis, day by day by day, because Satan's going to try day by day. He's going to throw stuff at you day by day. I wish it weren't that way. But that's where we're living in this world. It's a day by day thing. Satan doesn't take a day off. Unfortunately, I wish he would. Satan wants you in the dark. He doesn't want you to confess your sin. He doesn't want you to obey God. But God is the only one you can come to and confess your sin, repent. And then the beautiful thing is, comes the restoration. He doesn't just, you know, he's not just going to be mad at you and leave you there to bleed and die. He's going to restore you. When you humble yourself to him, there's hope. If you're not hopeless, there's hope. If you've fallen away in an area, he is going to restore you. But you have to do your part, which is to come with brokenness and repentance. And finally, I want to just say that there's a scripture, 1 Corinthians 10:2. It says, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. So we need to, all of us, take heed. This warning is to everybody in this room that anybody could fall. Any one of us could fall. So we need to, that day-to-day thing of just serving God, coming to him, repenting quickly. It's easier to repent quickly and fast than to let things build. You know, if there's something, just repent fast. Don't let the day go by. If you know you need to repent, do it today. Do it soon. Do it in a couple minutes. We're going to have communion. Just take that some time to repent. And get clean before the Lord. Cry out to God. You know, if we're going to fulfill the dream, we have to bring the area of sexual appetites under God's control. Okay, only when we're found faithful in the test of purity, the purity test, will his presence and his blessing rest upon our lives. Those confessions only will work when we pass the purity test. Okay, and so we know that we're learning about Joseph. We're learning what he had to go through, the palace test, you know, the pride test. Today it's all about the purity test that we're learning. And if we pass this test, you're ready for the next step with God. You're ready. So can I have the ushers? Is the ushers that pass communion, right? Okay. If they would get communion ready and prepared. Because we're going to use this communion time to come before the Lord. Now, when you come to God, you got to come to God. Not, you know. I notice a lot of people are talking right now, which kind of surprises me. But no, it doesn't surprise me. But let's go ahead and take this time of communion to come to God. Thank you. All right, Lord, we come. Okay, let's just prepare our hearts. I know it's been a hard message this morning. I'm not trying to point out at anybody. I'm not directing this to any one person. This is just the word that God has. I'm just delivering this message. So you just, I'm not here to judge anybody. I'm just here to deliver the message. So you just go to the Lord and talk to him, okay? Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the stripes of Jesus. Lord, I want to thank you today for being wounded for our transgressions and that you were bruised for our iniquities. Lord, we come to you with our iniquities right now. Let's just take a moment and just, you and God, just repent of those iniquities, those attitudes, those motivations of the heart that lead to the sin. Those root heart root problems. Just take a moment and just commit those to God. Just yield, just repent. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. He was outwardly wounded for our sins and inwardly bruised for our inward iniquities. Father, we come today and we just thank you for the blood of Jesus, the cleansing of the blood of Jesus, Lord, that washes away and cleanses and makes us pure again, Lord. And Father, we want to be pure in our hearts. We want to be pure. Father, we want your forgiveness. We thank you that you're here to forgive today. Thank you, Lord, that you came not to condemn the world, but to save the world. And so, Father, we want to receive that salvation of our hearts, of our attitudes, that wholeness. Father, we come right now and we repent, Lord. Oh, God, praise the Lord. Thank you for your blood poured out, Lord. We receive that right now. Thank you, Lord. And right now, Lord, we thank you that your body was broken. We thank you that Jesus' body was broken for us so we can be whole, so we can be restored. Thank you for the restoration, Lord. We just yield to you for restoration of our lives. Come, Lord, and restore us and make us whole, Lord, where you were broken so we could be whole. You took the punishment, the whipping, the nailing to the cross, the death on the cross, so we can walk away whole. And I thank you, Lord, right now. Let's receive the body of Jesus broken. If we could have the musicians, please go up. We're just going to have a time of ministry right now where if you just need a little support, you need somebody to pray for you. We're here to support one another. We're here to pray. We're here to break, you know, those chains, help you break some chains off your life, some strongholds. So if I could have, Don, could you come pray with up here? And Karen, would you be willing to pray with us for people today, Karen? Okay. Mark, of course. Okay.